Good morning. My name is Karen, and I'll be your conference facilitator today. Welcome to First Choice Healthcare Solutions' third quarter earnings report. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow management's remarks. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. A replay of today's call will be available on First Choice's website later today and will remain posted there for the next 90 days. I would also like to remind everyone that any forward-looking statements made during the call are protected under the Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation and Reform Act. Such forward-looking statements are based upon current expectations, and there can be no assurance that the results contemplated in these statements will be realized. Actual results may differ materially from such statements due to a number of important factors and risks, which are identified in our press release and our annual and quarterly reports filed with the SEC. These forward-looking statements are based on information available to First Choice today, and the company assumes no obligation to update statements as circumstances change. Now, at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Chris Romandetti, Chairman, President, and CEO of First Choice. Mr. Romandetti, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Karen. Thank you, everybody, for joining our call today. With me is Phil Keller, our Chief Financial Officer. We'll begin providing you with an overview of our operations and financial performances. Afterwards, we'll have some prepared remarks. Phil and I will be prepared to answer questions. So, where are we Q3? Highlights of the quarter. We've achieved several significant milestones in the business that we believe are still setting ourselves for a positive year and a great opportunity to set the stage, as I've told everybody in previous calls, for 2019. The ability to grow our margin while growing the business in 2017 from $939,000 versus 2018 to $1.75 in EBITDA is a testament to everybody here on the team. In addition to that, later you'll start to hear that last year you saw that we had to take a provision in Q4 for bad debt, where this year we are not recognizing that in any of these stated numbers that I'm discussing now. Crane Creek's turnaround from last year, from a total loss of approximately for the entire year $835,000 to year-to-date a positive momentum here of $578,000, is once again a great testament to the management staff that we've put in change, made our corrections, and again, last year we owned 40% of that loss, and this year we own 65% of the gain. A reminder that we will no longer be putting the bad debt into EBITDA. I just wanted that for everybody to be clear about that, that we're not adding that back to this year as previous years. We've been continuing to renegotiate our payer contracts. Some of these contracts as much as 18% increases, which have happened between Q3 and Q4. Recognition is slow, but it's coming in. Other contracts at 5%, increasing over the next 3 years, and we're excited to start to see that. We actually put out a contract the other day to one of our significant payers looking to get us more parallel in the community and asking for an excess of 24% is where they need to put us to normalize us. So these are ongoing. Unfortunately, they don't happen as quick as we want because they have renewal dates, but between now and February, we think we have four more that are coming up that we are aggressively putting our team on to do that, to recognize those contracts. Although we, you know, in this amount here that we've renegotiated in these contracts, and I want everybody to know, you can put them in your request. It just takes time. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We wish that would go quicker, but we're working towards it. So although we've experienced exceptional revenue, 9.7 for the Q over previous years, we also experienced an additional amount of costs. Now, Q over Q, year to year, it was almost the same. We are recognizing that Q3 has additional costs because it's the summertime. Elective surgeries are down in our state. Doctors' pays don't decrease. We could probably do a better job of maybe amortizing them over the year differently, but the fact is they take their summertime vacations with their families. Elective surgeries go down because nobody would really want to have their knee done while they want to play with their grandkids in the summer. So we're starting to see a little bit more of a seasonal change, and we'll be working further next year to identify this and try to look at normalizing the labor better. But the second biggest part, and later on we'll discuss further in the call, is the ability that we've been looking at numerous acquisitions. and targets. And actually, last quarter I identified four. We're at five. Three, and later on I'll talk about those two. Three of those are completed in what we're doing. So before I get further into that, which I'm excited about to want to talk about our future, I'm going to turn it over to Phil so he can update you on the factual parts of our financials. Phil, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chris, and good morning, everyone. By now you should have seen our 10-Q filed last night or our press release issued this morning. In my prepared remarks, I will provide additional information on the company's third quarter and year-to-date financial performance. Total revenues for the quarter were $9.7 million, an increase of 26%. Our net patient revenue increased approximately 28% to $9.1 million. And on a sequential basis, total revenues for the quarter increased 3%. First Choice Medical Group and Crane Creek Surgery Center showed year-over-year and sequential growth in net patient revenue, while the VAC Center showed year-over-year growth but did decline sequentially by 5% from the previous quarter. Our loss from operations was approximately $219,000 for the quarter compared to last year's operating loss of approximately $730,000. Included in the current quarter results, approximately $230,000 of unusual expenses associated with four potential acquisitions. In addition, we had startup costs of approximately $150,000 associated with the planned opening of two additional TT sites. Our non-GAAP adjusted EBITDA was approximately $194,000 compared to $98,000 for the same period a year ago. On a year-to-date basis, our revenues are up 18.2% to $27.9 million compared to $23.6 million for the prior year. Our net patient revenue grew 19.4% to $26.1 million, and our income from operations improved $1.3 million, and our adjusted EBITDA increased over $800,000 to $1,750,000 for the 9 months ended September 30th. The increases in revenue, income from operations, and adjusted EBITDA was a result of a 17% increase in surgeries year over year, an 87% increase in PT visits, and a 40% increase in our MRIs. Turning to our balance sheet, and specifically our accounts receivable and collection efforts, our DSOs has decreased 19 days from a year ago. However, we did see an increase during the quarter. The main driver of the increase was an increase in payment denials from three major payers that changed their documentation requirements for getting paid on orthopedic and spine cases. We have provided the additional documentation for these cases, and the payers are reprocessing the claims and expect them to be fully collectible. In addition, we have made great progress with the VA in the second quarter. However, in the third quarter, they have stopped paying us again, and our DSO on VA is increasing. When evaluating our DSO, our receivables have three distinct tranches: traditional ortho cases, spine cases, and then legal and letter of protection. Our spine cases generally have DSOs that are 35% higher than traditional ortho cases, and our letter of protection cases carry higher reimbursement levels, but do require us to hold the receivables for 16 to 17 months, which negatively affects our DSO. We are continuing to put significant resources and focus on improving our revenue cycle management process through system optimization, increased focus on training, and redesigning both our front and back end processes. As our system optimization program takes hold, I expect improvements in both our DSO to take hold very quickly. I would now like to turn the call back over to Chris.
Well, thank you, Phil, and I'm going to expand on some of those areas here in a minute, but let me just start out with some of my prepared remarks. You know, the expansion of our business and additional ancillary services are clearly our focus on our top-line revenue. And, you know, without a doubt, I'm probably disappointed we haven't closed on two of the potential acquisitions as of this date, but I think it's a great time to recognize right now that as we look at that, we're evaluating things differently than we would have looked at them maybe a year ago. Just revenue is revenue, and that's not what the focus of this call is going to be about. What we're going to discuss now is, can we make money, and what is a suitable amount for you, the investors on the call, that would recognize us to be doing a good job? And I am not going to get off the fact that we need to make a 15% margin. So the balance of this call is going to be based on how are we going to do that, what are we going to eliminate, and what are we going to increase, and in what areas to provide that and put this company on track to where it can now do it. I'm basically done practicing. So with that, what are we going to do? we're hiring additional surgeons. We have offers out to two surgeons right now. We've actually hired one last month that has joined us, Dr. Wade. In doing that, we're excited that she'll be on our team. She's one of two female foot and ankle surgeons in the state of Florida. We have not had that. So from now, we have from neurology, we have a neurosurgeon, and we can take it all the way through. What's important about this aspect? Later on, as you will all learn, as we're bidding contracts that are being presented to us to do an entire bundle, you can't tell them, by the way, we do elbows, but we don't do feet, but we don't do brains, but we do spine. So we're happy today to report that we have subspecialties in all aspects of orthopedics and neurology, neurosurgery. We are evaluating the doctors we have. We want to make sure, just again, numbers won't work for me in 19 as it starts to approach rapidly. I am not just going to do dollars. If we're doing numbers in an area that is continuously to pull down our margin, then we need to address that and do that quickly. So we will be evaluating both internally, externally, and the potential of the opportunity, and we have clearly enough data sets now to start looking at that. We've scheduled to open up our fifth PT location. I understand they were pouring concrete this morning in some of the bathroom areas, and that's still scheduled to come in December. We might slip to January, but it won't be by us. We're hoping to be running. And when we look at a location like that, these are the type locations that we've already looked at. The amount of business should put us at 75% of capacity within 90 days, or we wouldn't be opening. So in discussing that, not only will one open in Q4, we're looking to open one up in another geographic area in the county, which will be in Q1. So we're set, we're funded, we're ready, and we have the people on staff ready to start operating those locations. We're continuing to grow our MRI business. You've heard those statistics right now. We're almost at capacity. Now, it's not physical capacity, but it's the operation capacity. I've always said we wanted to do 6,000 MRIs, and we just fell short of 500 last month. So bringing up different levels of our ancillary services, it's not to run overtime and run things, it's to run them at their maximum efficiencies. But that will be an issue to grow our business in the future, to either have to put another machine in or to look at some other ancillary services in the community. Our DME is following trends in what our doctors are using and offering. We've opened up our lab that went into effect in Q3, and we're successfully now taking what used to be, again, prescribed by a doctor to be sent out for evaluation to be done internally, and we're recognizing that now and starting to see the payments of that affect us, which will more specifically affect in Q4. We practiced in October, and it's starting to work. We've identified three areas in which we've implemented changes that we believe will bear immediate positive results. I'm going to be specific about this because I'm sure they're going to catch wind, because we as the board, we'll talk about our new SAD board the other day, need to look at this. We see problems with what I'll call auto write-offs out of our software system. And these are payments we have not received any money on. These are zero payments. So we have issues with our software company that's doing our work for us. I think they have obligations to correct us immediately. And what we mean by that is we are right now diligently going in to go grab those claims they've written off. And what we want to do is, one, fix the ones we can go back and reach on in a timely manner and refile, and then immediately stop the action in which caused that to be written off. More specifically, why didn't we get a report that sent to us to say they did that? So our auto write-offs will be a tremendous area of achieving maybe some recognized revenue. We've identified it for the last 3 years. It's a number. It might not be considered material, but it's not tens of thousands. It's hundreds of thousands over the course of the 3 years, and it's disappointing that we couldn't see that. I will say that we brought Athena in. We've had experts come in and outside contractors, and this is how we've been identifying it, and with the assistance of Stewart, which we went to their locations to look at how they process and look at it, we've now been able to gain access to different ways to basically run these reports and see it. The next was what Phil talked about, was a 34% decrease in denials or increase in denials over Q2, that number equated to $2.2 million right off the top. You don't see it for 60 days, so we saw it in Q3, immediately put the flags up, and so that now is working to where all those claims. So we definitely on the cash flow side of AR, It's nice now to have a team big enough that we can recognize what that is. A third area of high opportunity is, why do we put it into AR to begin with? Athena does not do a great job of systems estimating. Maybe as investors on the phone, you've experienced this, and it's when you're going in for a procedure at a practice, you're told to come up with what your estimated dollar amount will be after your primary, secondary insurance has paid. We are looking at alternative third-party software solutions to this. Last year, we saw about $1 million of this at TBC, and $500,000 of ours go into AR, and then we have to spend money to fight to get it. It's a lot easier to get the money before we do your operation than to chase you afterwards. So that's going into effect even before the first of the year. It's being done manually right now. That's labor intensive, but we're looking for software solutions to do a better job on our pre-estimating on what's needed and what's required. It's our pleasure to announce on our last call, we had slated that the board would be sat. They are sat. We now have five directors, four of which are independent, and we look for a great opportunity to take guidance from the board on how they now would like to see the direction of the company either change some of these things I'm mentioning now, or would be just pure opinion of not only theirs, to make sure what we're presenting to them for our next year's budget is appropriate. So this will also allow us today, as of today, to fill out our final application, which we've been invited up to the NASDAQ and to the New York Exchange, that other than a stock price, we have all criteria in place. We have to have our yearly meeting, which will be coming up shortly, and that will allow us the ability to uplist to an exchange, which we are working on as we speak. We've negotiated with bankers to turn around, and we now have a term sheet in hand that would allow us to have access to $9 million in working capital for investment activity. We think it's a fair interest rate. There's no equity involved, and an expansion of our line on our line of credit to $5 million if required. As of right now, we have approximately $1.4 million out on our line of credit on our AR with no other significant debt as day-to-day other than what GAAP requires us to do it as it relates to leases and other lease obligations. So as we discussed on our last call, we've been reviewing the target. We said four. There's been five. We have two of them that we're prepared to close right now. We have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in everything it takes to have legal documents on the table to close on two potential opportunities. We're measuring twice before we cut once to make sure we pull this trigger, that these opportunities will bear the fruits both you as an investor and us as a company would expect, meaning if it doesn't fit a margin of acceptable profitability, I don't want to buy something and then tell you we're going to make it there. So we're not certain they fit. So we're measuring that right now. There's five. There's three others. We think three of the other ones significantly could fit this. But unfortunately, we took the biggest because we thought dollars were important. And the message of today's call is more additional dollars are not nearly as important as profitability. So the team's done that. It's now gone through revenue cycles. We're looking at these acquisitions, and a wise person once told me, make sure you really look at this as a post-closing acquisition and what's it going to do day one, and we'll be hopefully ready to report that shortly to you on our progress. So the summary, we just don't want to do more dollars. We want to make money. I know that's what all you want and what you would expect, and I expect nothing less than that for me to have this position. So therefore, each segment of our business is under an extreme scrutiny right now to be rechecked and measured twice. This includes looking at our providers, what they do, our service lines, and what the criteria needs to be to fit next year's criteria on the minimum profitability that I'm aiming for 15%. I am not happy sitting here doing 6 and 8%. So it's not what I said we would do. It's not what I want to continue to do, and I'm committed to make this change. So with that, what I'd like to do is turn it over for questions and answers, and I appreciate everybody's time here. Karen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you just pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. And our first question comes from Howard Halpern from Taglich Brothers. Please state your question.
Good morning, guys, and it's nice to hear you focus on that profitability. That's a good thing. First question's regarding, I guess, the PT centers, and what is the margin of your PT centers, and what do you expect? Do you expect to drive them even higher in the future?
Well, thank you for the question. So specifically today announcing the margin in each particular one per our contract, I'm going to have to wait and either have to answer that separately, but I would want to get clearance. I think that our contracts are definitely contractually, I don't know if that would be a benefit. What I can tell you, it's one of our single highest margin pieces of business. That piece of business before corporate overhead should be holding from 20 to 30%. The actual rates are very consistent in our community over the product mix between both Medicare and third-party payers. An average appointment visit's probably worth $82 to $90. And so we're clicking off right at $1,000 a week right now. We think we'll have the potential to do 1,800, or actually 2,000 with the next location opened up for next year, and somewhere between this year and the end of 19. I don't know if it'll be in May, June, August, we should be clicking into that volume of business.
Okay, and I'm assuming now any of the acquisitions that you're looking at or you would obviously pull the trigger on should at least be 15% margin to your business, correct?
Yes. It might be that our contracts have to overlie their patient mix and their volume. In whatever areas they're doing, which we can do, but you're buying a book of their business to circumvent. If we could double PT tomorrow and there's a margin that our contracts are better, that would be an ideal target. So we don't have to wait 2 years to bring in that additional revenue. So to answer your question, we would not bring something in that would decrease the opportunity or margin we're currently experiencing.
Okay, and on some of the bullet points you went through with, auto write-offs and such, do you have to – are you able to use existing personnel, or is there some incremental cost to getting some of those points straightened out in the next quarter or so?
I think that's a great question. Phil has assembled a revenue recognition team now to where I think we have 12 people working in that department that have segmented both current business, meaning there should be no business, in my estimation, we don't start looking at hard until it hits 90 days. Working a claim can take about 90 days. Then it starts to become problematic. What we're looking at is anything over 90 days, and we are actually talking to collection agencies and different people for the claims that go out. And each one has a unique piece to it. I can't put a collection agency on the U.S. government for the VA. We can sue them, but they're not going to like that. So we'll take that $400,000 and have a different type person work those claims as we're working in Washington with them to do that. And when you go to Medicare, they have rigid rules on how you can get to the judge and work those claims. So, yes, it's a combination of both. Where I want to be is current information, making sure we're getting that prepaid expense. Your deductibles kick in January 1. January 1 is our worst month for collections and cash flow because deductibles kick in, $2,000 to $5,000. So Bill was implemented, and what we're trying to implement right now is these third-party finance companies that advance credit to patients so that we can be in a position to almost virtually eliminate open patient responsibility by implementing companies that will lend credit to an individual so that I'd rather take a little discount up front and take the cash off the table and then not be fighting to get that $1 million plus per year from patient responsibility.
Okay. You talked earlier about bidding bundles and I guess trying to get, your personnel, the surgeons, in a whole encompassing, I guess, portfolio of what they do, of what you're able to do. Could you talk a little bit more about the bidding bundles and how that might be more important, I guess, maybe, or have a more of an impact going forward in future years?
So we have a significantly large payer that has approached us to say, we just want to make one payment per episode. We want to pay you for your anesthesia, your facility, your doctor, your supply cost, your implants, make a payment, and be done with it. Compared to right now, they're managing paying 6 to 8 different people on 6 to 8 different contracts. So there's two different type bundles. There's a bundle to do a procedure in our surgery center, and then there's a bundle to provide the episode. And they're now approaching us more on the episode to see if we want to go down that. So that's being evaluated as we speak. And so far, it's recognized to us to be, it might be much more favorable to get the episode. And that's why we're adding all these services in, because some of them include the ancillary services that we're currently providing.
Okay. And just one last one about, you know, Steward, how is that continuing to progress? And what are you seeing back and forth, you know, as you talk to them?
Well, I think the opportunity in our community, like I've always said, I mean, Steward is investing in our company and having the confidence to know what we think we were doing and are doing in their facilities. We're primarily demonstrating that right here in their Melbourne campus, and we work with them diligently to get reports to see how we can even work better and closer together. So I don't have anything today to report to not say that, you know, do we wish what they could offer us could come faster? Everybody always wants that, but I have nothing negatively today that I'm going to sit here and say they've burdened any of our expansion. At first we thought, I might as well clear the air on this because I think the question will come up. We thought we would run to Vero into a new territory on the last call, and I want to be very clear on that. We've analyzed the amount of surgery potential and ancillary business, and it is 18% in our estimation, far below 20% the size of our current market share. And so we have pulled back to just opening 2 offices down there to service surgeries down in that area. And until we both see how the landscape works in that area, we are concentrating our services where we're nowhere near 50% of our capability here in the Central Florida area and not into another county. And so, therefore, we won't be deploying additional CapEx currently down into the Sebastian area until we see the actual, they're building their facility out, they're adding ORs, and there'll be additional surgical capacity down there, so we're watching that come along. So we're going to stay focused to get the Melbourne, Central Florida, Brevard County platform up and working at our new optimum goal of profitability, so that we can turn around and know we have a real good working unit. So the long-winded answer with them is that we still have a hospital north of us that they have capacity, so we'll be looking at. That's where we might be opening another PT area up closer to their other campus. And when you look at where the actual locations are of zip codes where surgery potential customers live, there's still plenty more work to be done up here in the central part of the county.
Okay, well, keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
Once again, that's *1 if you do have a question or comment. And our next question comes from Gene Mannheimer from Dougherty & Company. Please state your question.
Hey, thanks. Good morning. Congrats on a good quarter, guys. I wanted to ask about the revenue trajectory for the current year. Based on your last comments, Chris, I just want to verify you're still tracking to the $40 million type of revenue for the current year. And if you are, that would suggest a pretty meaningful pickup in the number of surgeries in Q4. Am I thinking about that right?
Yeah, no, Gene, we have not put in guidance out, and as being somebody who's writing on us, you would know that. If I did, you'd be the first to hear about it, and you'd be able to report it. But we have not put in guidance out for 2018 or 19. So we are on track that we're doing what we're doing. You're analyzing it. You're looking at it. And we're pretty confident on what we're doing. But today on this call, I haven't put guidance out for Q4.
Sure. No, I respect that, but I believe that in the last call you talked about the surgery run rate exiting 2018, and from there we can kind of extrapolate what revenues might look like. So do you expect a meaningful pickup in surgeries in the fourth quarter?
No, and I never told you I would. What I told you on any call, and you can go back and listen to them, is that we were hoping to leave and expecting to leave run rate Q4 for next year at 5,000 surgeries. So it never was that it was appearing in Q4. That might be an interpretation you've taken, but go back and relook at it. I told you we just hired a doctor. They're on board. We have options for other doctors to come on board. That hasn't stopped. We are now looking at what does it take to make 15%. So in doing that right now, it might not mean additional new surgeries. It might mean additional new higher profitability and ancillary services. So I think as shareholders, they'd rather hear profitability is there and it's stable and it's consistent instead of Chris is going to do 5,000 or 6,000 surgeries and make $7,000 apiece. So we're evaluating each person, everyone we have, and making sure that they're contributing the proper margins that we expected them to do.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Okay, so let me switch gears then.
Let me expand on one other point.
Mm-hmm.
It has been traditional that Q4 has always had a higher surgical count, and we look at that diligently because naturally your deductibles for the year, patients want to have them met. So we definitely have a higher count in Q4. Some of our, I don't want to say reaching issues are, but we're almost at some capacity issues at some facilities that we're now getting tight with. So we're measuring that with Stewart. We're measuring that with our own center as it relates to that. But we have to be in the upper 70-80% at some of these facilities that they just don't have the bandwidth to do more there. So it's always easier for the schedulers to put 7 on a day instead of 9, or like a day like today, I think we had issues where we had to move 9 or 10 surgeries because of an issue at a facility. That happens. It's the real business. But what we like is that our depth and our patient log is getting more consistent, and it's still working well. And don't forget, we added 2 surgeons in the last year down at the back center, and they're coming up to speed now, and you have to find rooms for those people to do their surgeries.
Right. Okay. So with the seasonally higher surgery volume in Q4, that would just be coming from a higher number of surgeries per location versus additional open locations. Right?
I don't know if I understood that question, Gene.
You don't have any surgery centers opening in the fourth quarter that would drive volume. The surgery that you expect to generate in Q4 are all from existing sites, right?
Yes.
Okay. And last one, if I could, Chris, with the offer now out to Dr. Wade, How many revenue producing surgeons are on your staff today, and of the 2 offers that are outstanding, are those what specialty would those comprise? Thanks.
Yeah, I don't want to disclose the subspecialties that are coming in right now due to the fact that I just don't want to. I'll tell you, it will be a need of a void that's in our community is what they would be, and it's just way too local. We have 10 surgeons on staff right now to answer your other question.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's *1 on your telephone keypad if you do have a question or comment. *1. And our next question comes from George Mellis from MKH Management. Please state your question.
Yes, good morning. Hey, Chris. Hey, Phil. How are you?
Great, George.
Good.
Great. Just looking into 19, PT, it seems, could, if you do 2,000 visits per week, it could maybe almost become a $10 million business. can you sort of provide the chunks of what could be the revenue? And it's not guidance, it's not, but just trying to understand what could be the revenue by segment or by practice, let's say, in 19.
Well, George, I appreciate that, and we were almost excited to want to start to get into those areas, but I can tell you, since our inception, we have never been more laser focused on not only what is each percentage of our business, but what is our business value to each one as it relates to revenue, and then what is our margin. And that is why today we're confident by making some subtle changes we can achieve next year, being much closer to where I want to be on my overall margin. Today on this call, I would have to give you percentages, and I did not do that, to determine what we think PT will be overall compared to it. But overall, PT can be a large component to it because of the 34% denials in Q2 and 3, over 40% of that 34% were denials because people didn't achieve conservative care. So we're actually getting additional denials from our payers because they want to see them experience conservative care like therapy prior to things. So I do know this. I have the payer mix out there wanting me to do more of conservative care. And then you have to do more imaging to make sure the conservative care can be done before an acute problem is found. So I maybe this will help answer. At my last meeting that I publicly stated, I stated that our revenue last year was derived by 60% from physician revenues and 40% from ancillary. And in my opinion, 19, if I had to give you my educated guess would be, is we will be transferring to where it might go further, but we will be 60% ancillary to 40% physician. And once again, our margin on a blended rate has got to be 3-1, that the ancillary is holds a much larger margin than the high cost of the physician. Does that help?
Yep, it does. Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, George.
Once again, star one if you do have a question or comment. And there appear to be no further questions at this time, sir.
Well, that sounds great, Karen. So with that, what I'd like to do in summary, once again, is to thank everybody for joining the call, having the continued support from the shareholders to see what our current status is, to recognize that our team has identified exactly where we want to be. And as we're growing now with the internal staff, that some of these extra dollars, let me assure you, in Q3, is to get this information on our desk on daily dashboards. We don't wait for months anymore. We're in a current status to be upgrading our software system and our accounting software to where we have recognition to what we're discussing on a daily basis. I know you might all think that should be standard, but in a growth company, it isn't always. We can now see that, recognize it, and adjust rapidly to achieve the common goal we're all hoping for. Once again, I want to thank everybody for their time. I think we're getting better on these calls, 42 minutes into it. And again, if anybody has any specific questions, you all know how to get a hold of Phil, our CFO, or myself, and email us, and we'll do the best we can to accommodate that. Thank you once again, and have a great day and a great holiday coming up.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's teleconference. We thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a great day.